Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I want to go back to the NBA draft, and we are happy to go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline, and we bring in Mo DeKeel, who writes for all kinds of folks and has some good stuff going on with Back to Back Podcast, and he's a contributor for the Washington Post, and he's a former NBA video coordinator for the Clippers and Spurs. He has got the resume. That's true, my friends. Hi, Mo. How are you?
Mo.
I'm doing well, man. How are you guys doing?
Good. Thanks for joining us. We really appreciate it. Just give me your overall thoughts on last night's draft and the things that transpired and just your overall big picture of what you saw last night.
I mean, it was a crazy draft. Like, going into it, it felt like there was going to be a trade every 10 minutes. I don't know how anybody else felt. Like,
I did too.
Before,
same thing.
A couple hours before, I was like, okay, I'm going to get a workout ahead of time. And then I was just like, man, I can't leave my phone or my computer. Something's going to happen every few minutes. And once we got into the draft, it kind of settled down a little bit. There were some really interesting moves, some stuff where I think some teams really kind of set themselves up really well for the future. And a couple of teams did some things where I'm not quite sure what they're thinking at all. So, Phoenix Suns are a great example of, I don't think anybody has any idea what they're doing. They kind of created cap space and then gave it all away relatively quickly after that. So, it's kind of a regular draft. There's always like one or two teams where you're just shaking your head at going like, I have no idea what their plans are.
Were the Cavaliers one of those teams, or did you like what they did?
I liked what the Cavs did. I thought, it's going to be interesting because we got to see how Coach Beilein does in the NBA, right? Like, this is a whole new experience for him and how his offense from Michigan kind of translates over. But, I think the league's transitioning more into you got to have multiple ball handlers. So I think it's going to take some time, but you got to figure out how Colin Sexton is going to fit with Darius Garland. I like them getting Porter Jr. from USC. I mean, granted, I'm an SC alum, so anytime a Trojan gets drafted, I'm happy. I like that being as a good fit, late in the draft. He has some high upside that can possibly be something that they build on. I think they did well in this draft. I think it's going to be interesting to see how these two guards kind of figure it out together. But we have examples of it. I'm not ready to say they're Portland 2.0, but, that's the blueprint. So I think that's something it's going to take time to develop and figure out. But they're young, and there's not really a crazy urgency right now to win now in Cleveland. So I think, give it time, we might see some real benefits down the road.
Mo, as a USC alum, you probably watched Kevin Porter Jr. a lot more than any of us here in Cleveland did. What do you like about his game? What don't you like about his game and maybe his makeup?
Well, I think, he has a talent. He's a top 10 talented player. I think the real biggest thing is there are maturity questions. And that's something that's always kind of scary, a bit of a flag. With SC, there are times where, he clashed a little bit with the coach who got suspended. I think it was their Oregon trip. And I think that's something that they're going to have to figure out. Most of his issues, I think, is just maturity. And you know what? The kid's 18, 19. Like, who didn't make stupid mistakes and decisions at that point? I certainly have many that I still even now try to forget. But I think overall, I think he's a talented wing player. I think he's going to be, he's athletic beyond belief. I think he's going to be a real interesting piece. It's all about development, and I think, again, in Beilein structure, if he can kind of build a structured environment in Cleveland, I think that's really going to pay dividends for him.
Is he anywhere near ready to contribute at the NBA level, Mo, or do you think he's a guy that needs a year or two to develop?
I think all these kids, 18, 19 years old, pretty much, unless they're Zion, all kind of need a year or two. It's such a shock when you go from your season being a 30-game season to an 82-game season and flights, and now you're making the most money you've ever made in your life and all of these things. Like, it's a real shock. I really think I think most of these kids almost need a redshirt year in the NBA to kind of just get acclimated. So, you know, he's probably not going to come in day one and blow you away, but give him a couple years and let him figure it out, and I think he'll be really happy, with especially getting him at you know, so late in the draft. I think it's really worth it.
Mo, you talked about the beginning and the flurry of action right before the draft. Give me the rationale for Atlanta to jump into four. Did they think the Cavs were going to take DeAndre Hunter, or is it just a matter of looking at the draft going, man, we got six picks. We might as well move up. Let's try to figure out something here.
Yeah, you know, Travis Schlink has kind of developed this, and I like this philosophy of, like, when you know this is the guy you want, you got to go get the guy. And, you know, there was a chance that was, you know, it didn't seem like Hunter was going to drop down to them at eight. So, you know, that if that's the guy you targeted, that's the guy you think is the piece you need moving forward, and especially with that young core, you know, go make that trade happen. You know, they took on an expiring deal in Solomon Hill, so, you know, it was a great trade for New Orleans, but I think it's going to be a great trade for Atlanta. I think he's a really good piece for that Atlanta team, just because probably one of the best defenders in the draft. Not expected to do much in terms of having to create everything, because they have Trae Young, and you already have Herter there. I can't ever say his name correctly. And then you have John Collins already kind of stretching the floor vertically with his pick and rolls. I think it was a smart move for them. And, you know, I'm never going to be upset with a team when they see this is the guy we want. And if we got to move up to go get him, then we got to move up and go get him. And they had the assets to do it, and it worked out well for them.
Let's hit on Dylan Windler, who the Cavaliers took at 26. And I love the comparison game. I think there are probably some out there. Do you compare him to anybody? And is this guy a small college guy, well, smaller college guy, who can flourish at that level? Or do you think his game can translate to the NBA?
I think he could translate. It's hard to get player comps. I'm not a big player comp guy, just because I think it's unfair to the kids coming in. But I think, you know, what we've seen with some of these young guys, or especially these smaller college guys, a lot of them have thrived, you know, and I think that's part of it, is just how much talent there is in basketball altogether. You know, Damian Lillard, you know, small college guy, CJ McCollum, small college guy. I mean, obviously Steph Curry, the biggest name of all of them, playing at Davidson. So I think he can thrive. You know, it's just going to take time. I'm not that up on him, to be honest. It's not like I have a full level of knowledge on all the college guys, but, you know, if they see something in him, they're gonna take him. And again, guys, it's all about patience. And in Cleveland, it's a low pressure situation right now. It's you know, this year is going to be an interesting one. Let Beeline kind of establish his system, and you know, then you have to start figuring out who fits and who doesn't. So it's going to be an interesting one for Cleveland, at the very least. A lot of young talent.
Darius Garland, I mean, if you watch him, that three-point shot is deep. He seems to have an ability to get to the hoop. He also looks like he's a legit 175 pounds. How far away do you think he is from being what the Cavaliers hope he can be?
I think he's closer than we think. I think, you know, it's hard because, right, we only saw just a couple of games before he got hurt. But, you know, the kid's talented. He can stop on a dime and shoot. He can come off picks, come off screens and shoot. He's great in transition. I think he has, like you said, deep range. He's definitely got the skill set that you'd look for in the guard you want in the new NBA. You know, if you go under on a screen on him, he's just going to stop right there, drill it. He's going to get to the rim. He's going to be able to finish. He's got to put on weight, like you said. I mean, 175 pounds might be a bit generous almost. Y'all got to feed him, man. Whatever you guys got in there, you got to fry up some butter sticks or something. You got to feed that boy, get him a little more weight. He's going to need it playing in the league. But I think this is going to be – I think he's really talented. I mean, I saw – again, I'm not big on comps, but I saw stuff saying as much as, like, Damian Lillard. So, you know, the ability to shoot coming off screens and off the dribble and just beat your man one-on-one is huge in this NBA game nowadays. So it's an important piece. And again, I think it's something that he's as he develops, he's just going to get better and better. I think this was a really good pick for them.
Mo, while I got you, I just want to I think the fun part now begins, especially with NBA free agency. Just your thoughts on where some of these guys are going to land. Where will Kawhi Leonard land?
I'm going to say he's going to land as a Clipper.
Okay.
I think it's just something that he's wanted to be in L.A. for a year and a half. He won a championship. He did everything he could for Toronto, and I think now he's going to come home.
Durant?
Durant's the toughest one to pick out, right?
Yeah.
I think he's – I mean, the injury really threw things off. I think, you know, before he was injured, I thought he was definitely gone. I think he's heading to New York, either the Knicks or Brooklyn. I'm not sure which yet, but I think he's going to leave Golden State and take the big deal there and rehab it for the next year.
And Kyrie. How about all the big name guys? All their names start with K. I just realized that. Kawhi, yeah, Kevin, Kyrie, Kemba, Clay.
Summer, yeah, it's the
Kristaps.
Summer of K.
It is the summer of K. Yeah.
It's the summer of K's, guys. I think Kyrie ends up in Brooklyn.
I'd agree with you.
Yeah, I just wonder if he's going to be there with Durant. That's my big, you know.
Where's Kevin Love playing next year?
Oh, Mike? That's a better one, Jeff.
Yeah. Another K.
See, that's a real interesting one because I think that's the guy that gets moved after free agency when a team strikes out or something like that. And I think that's kind of the piece that, you know, like teams are like, okay, well, we need to go get a guy. And I think Kevin Love's going to be sitting there. And, again, that's a good opportunity for the Cavs to kind of just build up their asset coverage some more.
It's funny because the draft was really cool. And in this case, it's truly an appetizer, Mo, because this summer's free agency is just going to be absolutely nuts.
It's actually driving me insane. The fact is that we have to wait another 10 more days for this. I'm like, can we just start this now? Let's just get this. I know the guys aren't. We already kind of know that tampering sort of exists. Can we just make this public now?
I agree with you completely. It's the stuff that's going to happen this summer is going to be absolutely nuts. And the thing that, to me, is really interesting, give me a favorite in the Eastern Conference next year. I don't know if you can pick one right now.
I can't do it in the East or the West. I mean, we definitely can't do it without knowing where some of these guys land. I think we're going to – I mean, Milwaukee has like 35 free agents. It's all up in the air. Boston, you know, just kind of created max cap space, but who knows if anybody wants to go there at this point. It's Philly has two huge pieces, three if you count including J.J. Redick, free agents. You know, there's no way to kind of predict it right now. I think it's, you know, and everybody wants to say contenders. I'm like, yo, we got to at least wait till we get a few signatures. I mean, everybody wants to make the Lakers a contender right now, and I get it. They have, you know, two top seven guys, but they don't have anybody else on their roster at this point. Like, we'll see how it all fills out. You know, so it's tough. But this is the best part about the NBA. It really feels like this summer is going to be almost a total reset. And we're going to really have a very exciting, you know, up-for-grabs title next season.
Mo, it's going to be fun, especially free agency right around the corner. Thank you so much. We always appreciate your time. We'll check you out on the back-to-back podcast, Washington Post stuff. And, of course, we just appreciate all the knowledge you bring to the show today. So, thank you, Mo.
Thank you guys for having me, man. I appreciate it.
All right, take care. Mo was on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.